Welcome to Share Talk, the only podcast where investors come first.
We have Lincoln Moore, Executive Director at Deco Oil today on Share Talk. Deco Oil is a large-scale palm oil production operation located in the Ivory Coast. The company released its interim results last week, and Lincoln is here to tell us more about it. So firstly, how are you, Lincoln?
Very well, Rob. Thanks for having me.
That's good to hear. So following another record year of financial performance this week, can you tell us a bit more about the factors which contributed towards achieving these, you know, good results?
Yeah, sure, Rob. I think in my last conversation through audio interview, I indicated that I expected our results to be very good. They could have been outstanding, and I'll go into that in a minute. But the actual numbers coming through reflect and are consistent with that comment. We've recorded double-digit growth in all key financial metrics, so revenue, EBITDA, and culminating in a 33.3% growth in net profit after tax. So on face value, an excellent result. We really characterised the first half of the year is our high season. So we expect to be quite profitable, but really characterised by two quarters. I think an outstanding Q1 in terms of both production and the price at which we sold the product, and then offset to some degree by a slightly disappointing Q2 due to operational issues, which stunted our production through the back end of the high season. But all in all, as I say, double-digit growth is something we should be all relatively happy with. The results are, pricing for palm oil has been much more supportive through H1 this year versus previous years. We feel that we have also helped that tremendously by making some changes to our operation in 2016. Probably most notably in relation to pricing was increasing our storage capacity, which gave us much more flexibility in terms of pricing negotiation, having that extra storage through the high season to maximise prices, whereas the previous year, the lack of storage and one-off issues in Nigeria meant that we had to sell the product at prices below international prices. So really, external factor in terms of pricing and internal storage has driven much better pricing, and overall we maintain production at relatively the same levels. If you work down to gross margin, clearly, obviously, the actual gross margin itself was significantly higher than last year, but the actual percentage was just a touch low. We were 26.1% gross margin in 2016. We were 25% this year, and really driven by that very small drop by a few factors. One is, we carried forward some sales from the previous year at lower prices, which we had to record for accounting purposes this year, which was roughly one percentage point. The operational disruptions that we had in Q2, meant that we had sort of costs continued to occur from the variable end, but the production and revenue didn't quite flow through, and again, in terms of nursing our mill through the challenges I had in Q2, our palm kernel oil production, which is very high in margin, was lower in terms of production numbers because of the operational issues. But I think if you take the optimistic view, you can see that the gross margins have plenty of room to move up, and really our internal goal is to move those gross margins up to 30%. Moving down to EBITDA and net profit after tax, really the main story is the refinances that we did through 2016, which significantly reduced our interest costs. Is leading to annualised interest being lower than was the case last year. When you look at like for like H1 16 versus H1 17, you don't quite see that. But I think it might have been slight cut off issues with the interest recording in H1 last year. But the number to look at really is the full year number. So 2.1 million of interest in 2016, and we look on track to get down to around about 1.5 million this year. So that's going to drive what we think will be a very solid net profit after tax growth number for the full year. So well on track to produce another full year record results.
Oh, that's good. And it sounds like you've had a few lessons learned as well along the way.
Certainly, I think I think each year really you have lessons to learn. I think in 2015 we had things were out of our control. Really, it was the Nigeria currency crisis, which effectively stunted the flow of production or the flow of sales of our product to local refineries, which therefore sell on to Nigeria. So that left us with some question marks in back end of 2015, which we resolved by implementing additional storage, and we were also aware in 2015 of the what we considered to be the biggest internal risk was problems with our boiler, and we'd ordered a new boiler through the back end of 2015, whilst it wasn't operational this year, and we had 23 odd down days, which is roughly half were due to problems in the boiler. It is almost the construction of that boiler is almost complete. So what we should see next year is a zero down days from boiler, which in terms of equating to production should mean an extra 3,000 tons of production before we start. So that's They're really things that we'd identified even 18 months out. We continue to assess the mill in terms of making sure that the other down days are not lost in the high season. And we think we've come up with some interesting things to really be supportive of production pretty much, next year. I mean, the low season is the low season. It really is the high season where we drive things, and we look forward to outlining those in a bit more detail shortly. But, the goal has to be to continue to grow production at AMWAR, because as I say, the mill this year really is only operating at 60% of its capacity. So there is a significant amount of organic growth still to come. And what we saw through H1 this year is there was, particularly in the high season and the middle of it through late February, March, April into May, a lot of fruit that we can process and maximise production next year. So certainly some lessons learned, and I think positive thing is we quickly rectifying issues, and really the mill should be operating really close to 0 days downtime. So that's the goal for next year.
Well, it's good. Certainly with the second project, which we'll get into in a bit, you've discovered what the best way to do things are, and obviously how to react to it. I'm just going to ask about the stronger palm oil price. How do you see that going through with the next 12 months?
Good question. I think just looking at where it's been the last 6 months, relatively the high prices on average over $700 a ton through the first half, and what we typically expect is palm oil prices internationally drop off a little bit in H2, and that's everything being equal due to the fact that the largest area of production for palm oil is out of Southeast Asia, and it's their high season in H2. So we're not actually seeing that really. I mean, with palm oil prices, they did look to taper off a little bit through July and August, but have rebounded quite strongly in September, some part due to weakness in US dollar, but also due to production in Southeast Asia or supply of palm oil being lower than expected. So we're seeing quite strong prices for this time of year, which my view is that bodes really well for us, because typically palm oil prices internationally are at their peak through Q1, Q2, which is when we produce the most, because of course Southeast Asia aren't producing much during that period. So we're quietly optimistic that we might strike a nice period for palm oil prices again through our high season next year, and possibly even higher than we have achieved this year. So in the short term, there are a number of other factors which we'd have probably take an hour to go through today, but we're quietly optimistic on palm oil prices. Long term, of course, we remain extremely bullish because it's simply a very basic economic demand and supply issue, where supply out of Southeast Asia is somewhat limited and demand continues to grow. So, you know, we feel that commodity-wise, palm oil is a good sector to be in if you're taking a medium to long-term view.
Okay, and talking about a good sector to be in, you've talked before about becoming a multi-project palm oil producer. Do you want to expand a bit more on that?
Well, the first project that I've been talking about at the moment is the ANY project, where we have the mill, which is at currently 60% of capacity and has continued organic growth to come, which will flow to higher profit numbers. But the whole goal really is to increase our scalability in terms of assets and jurisdictional diversification. So we have really two other projects under consideration at the moment. The second project in Cote d'Ivoire is an area, Guitry, which is a land base of about 24,000 hectares that we've had for some time. We've obviously been prudent in that we haven't chosen to spend a huge amount in terms of investment to this point in time whilst we stabilise and grow the ANY project. So we wanted to make sure that we were well positioned from a cash flow perspective first. But you know, we can now, together with our shareholders, see that the stabilisation, even in a half year we didn't do as well as we could, we still showed significant profit growth, that we can now be a slightly more proactive with the development of Guitry. So that starts with setting up the nursery operations and following the successful process at ANY, where we engage with the smallholders and reinvigorate that industry. At the same time, finishing feasibility with smallholders to determine the possibilities of an early stage milling operation. But really, in terms of the long term, it's about planting out those hectares. You know, that is the goal, really, and the strategy is to do that major part of the capex of planting with a strategic partner. You know, we're having soft conversations at the moment, but really we think that we want to get the nursery going and a pilot estate first before finalising those conversations, because we think there's a lot of internal value to add to that project in terms of our negotiating position with those strategic partners. But you know, that's the way we will fund that, with some of our own cash, but most likely majority with a strategic partner. And that is the potential to be a more significant project than ANY in time. That project is now being looked at daily and is being implemented. We're also, of course, interested in diversification. So in terms of country diversification, and we have announced previously, we're interested in Ghana as a logical location, being relatively closely located to our ANY project in the eastern part of Cote d'Ivoire. And we're in detailed discussions with an existing asset, Norpalm AS, which has just under 5,000 hectares of their own estates, relationships with smallholders, which we think we can significantly improve, in a milling operation. So we're hoping we can close something there in the through the back end of this year and add that to our portfolio of assets. And this will really then, I think, be a pretty exciting time for shareholders, having access to one very cash flow generative asset, one asset in Ghana, which we think we can add a huge value to, given our past experience, and a development asset in Guitry. You know, we've got an asset base which is potentially worth in the hundreds of millions, and our market cap at the moment is dwarfed by that.
Okay, and with Ghana then, is that similar with Ivory Coast and the whole process? And I don't know, is the red tape different, or would it be straightforward, you think?
The country of Ghana has British background, and so it's a country we're quite comfortable in. We have significant board experience in the country. Politically, it's it had a change of president recently, but very politically stable. It's had some financial issues as a country, but from the perspective of a palm oil producer, we sell our product in US dollars. So any financial issues or anything which devalues the local currency, in fact, we actually benefit from, because it reduces the local costs
All right.
For our company, but we love Ghana. We think it's a great place to do business. It's been proven in terms of palm oil, and we think it's a place which we can add. Maybe it's the first of possibly other acquisitions and a portfolio of assets which we think could be pretty significant for us.
Oh, good. And final question then: how often do you actually get out there? I mean,
really,
you must look for a nice excuse to escape the weather and the.
Yeah, I mean, I think. If you look at our structure, we have around about 450 employees and a full senior operational team who are on the site daily. I'm out there between four to six times a year for strategic reasons and operational, and trying to add value from an operational perspective. We have a lot of faith in the gentlemen we've appointed in the various key management roles locally who are operating the business daily. So that really allows myself to focus on the high level corporate activities of the business. Notably, you're looking at the acquisition of Ghana, and then also the commencement and potential strategic partners at Guitry, and of course last year the refinance, which has put our business in such a great position. So I'm there regularly, but we have huge faith in the guys we've appointed who are managing the first business daily.
That's good. I mean, certainly saying that Cantor's highlighted the commencement of operations at Guitry as a significant event, so it sounds promising. Lincoln, thanks for the time that you've taken, and I'm sure we'll hear from you soon.
No, thank you, Rob. I look forward to updating further, and thanks for your time.
Brilliant. Thanks a lot.
All right, thanks, Rob.
Thank you for listening. Remember to visit our website for more news and other podcasts at www.share-talk.com.